Greetings. I present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on CFRU.ca. I am your Master Overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond at progressive rock, the branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative genres, a tumbling anomaly, and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens out of the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Welcome, good centuries, to a new audience in the Observational Tower, my music interview series through the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, here at the station at CFRU 93.3 FM, online at CFRU.ca, and currently live streaming on CFRU's YouTube channel with some gorgeous green screen visuals. Today, we are skewed to focus our gaze upon an energetic, ambitious electro-punk Hamilton duo, King Dice. Hey, guys.
Hi.
How's it going, Nick?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. We're really good. I don't want to speak on George's behalf. Are you all
right? We're super excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
Oh, no. It's a pleasure to have you guys here in the first guests of 2020.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. Thank you. That's an honor.
Yeah, no, I'm ecstatic about it. Also, yeah. Before we go much further, rest in peace, Neil Peart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. It's a very tragic and shocking way to start the new year of the passing of a great prog drummer and just a legend.
But you know what? I'm not mourning too much because he graced us with lots of great music and we're all better for it.
He's the professor, man.
And we learned so much from him.
Yeah, so much good music from a very bright and amazing person.
Absolutely.
So let's now go on to some more happier times.
Yeah, like right energy. Now. Yes, good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So why don't you introduce yourselves for our listeners and viewers?
Yes. I'm George. This is Zach, and we are King Dice. We are from Hamilton, Ontario. And we're here to make some noise.
You're going to shake the place?
I'm going to try to, at the very least. I don't know. I think we could do a pretty good job of it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to maybe get expectations too high, but you know what? We'll let the audience decide.
We'll rattle a couple of glasses on tables, like Jurassic Park or something along those lines. Oh yeah, perfect.
Oh yeah, Zach, you have your own mic. There.
I see. Oh man, that's excellent. Hang on, I'll bring it closer-ish.
No.
Or just leave it.
The dynamic.
Oh, I see it. Oh man.
Oh, okay, that makes... Oh, wow! Oh, no, that's so much better. Sweet. Oh, yeah.
Agreed
no.
completely.
Was I still, like, somewhat audible, though?
Yeah, I could hear you.
Nice. No, it really pays to have the loudest voice.
Zach really has a projecting voice.
It's all about that cadence and timbre, man.
But, yeah, you're not even the singer, though.
No, I'm shy.
He left that job for me.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, I guess, speaking of that, why don't you guys play some tunes for us to start off this special.
Yeah, so these first two songs of ours are pretty much the first two songs we ever wrote and played together. First one is called Red and Black, and the second one is Gold Dust.
Awesome. Here's King Dice here on CFRU 93.3 FM.
Freedom's hard and you will lose your self-control.
is reciprocate. The worship be, you worship and has to be, is a demise. Yeah. Red and black is all I'll ever see. Cold and numb is all I'll ever be. A dizzying tyrant's deed. Lose yourself in what it means to be.
That was King Dice here live at CFRU 93.3 FM on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. That was intense, guys.
Was it? It felt pretty intense on this end. Oh, man.
It's always a good workout between Zach and myself.
I don't know why I picked you the instrument that requires arms the most. I don't have the upper body strength for that, or core strength, or any strength.
You just need to lift, bro.
Yeah, I guess so. Lifting trunks or something like that. Sorry, Nick.
No, that's okay. You guys have a good dynamic going on. How did you guys actually meet up? Like, how did you guys meet?
Yeah, we've known each other for a while. We just met through a mutual friend at a house party, like, I think 2011, I want to say.
Yeah, 2011 sounds about it. We've known each other for about, 9 years now. Almost a decade. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too long. I think we should see other people now.
I've said that for years, George.
It's only been maybe 2 or 3 years ago where we sat down and was like, and we said, hey, why not make a project together? And it helped that I got this synthesizer, this keyboard that I'm playing right now, not too long before that. So we thought it made some cool noises, and we wanted to see where we could go with this.
Like, we've been in bands on and off for basically the entire time knowing each other. Just different project with friends and others. And yeah, it was finally with this one where we finally pulled up our bootstraps and
found a happy medium to work with. We actually when we started this, I didn't know we would get this to this point, but we actually have an EP out right now. It's called Red.
Red version.
You must like Pokemon then.
Yeah.
Oh, very much so.
Is that what it's because the album cover is
that's
like a lizard with a flaming tail, Charmander.
Yeah,
it's
a Charmander on the drums. Yeah, yeah. My brother and I ended up making that in Photoshop. So we have another EP planned, which it's TBD when we're gonna end up recording it, mixing, mastering. It's a whole
hopefully sometime process. In this year.
Yeah, no, it'll almost surely happen this year. I was hoping for a summer release, but that's becoming less and less likely as time goes on. But we'll see. It'll be out when it's out. It'll be done when it's done. But video games is something George and I bonded over,
like, straight off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, being big proprietors of Super Nintendo era. Nintendo.
Like, this synthesizer is capable of lots of sort of video game sounds, and we thought it was a natural fit to sort of go in a video game inspired direction. I mean, if you think about all the great video games out there and all the like classic melodies, like you think Super Mario, Legend of Zelda, like in a way that's not, I was just discussing this with Zach before we came here. It's almost like this generation's version of folk music. That might be a bit of a stretch, but it's something that...
I get where you're going with it, though. There's definitely something universal about the way video game music affects someone who's experiencing whatever game. I mean, with something like a movie, like the score is meant to enhance feelings or
evoke moments, evoke emotions, not necessarily get stuck in your head like a earworm.
Yeah, whereas video games is more like it's. I've always thought of it as one of the purest forms of music because it's just meant to
capture your attention.
Yeah, to capture your attention, and like it's about focus and drive, and that it can be utilized in a lot of different ways. Like there's games that are maybe slower paced that have a like much starker sort of soundtrack, like a game like Inside does that kind of thing, as opposed to something like Super Metroid, which is really like creepy and eerie and meant to evoke like a level of fear, which we try to somehow convert into a punk format.
And again, as opposed even again to something very frenetic and energetic like maybe Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat.
Yes, yeah, which is meant to be like I'm gonna kick that guy's keister, you know what I'm saying?
And also just to like bring a world and a story to life as well.
Totally, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's very much it definitely puts you there in a way that other mediums just can't quite get a grasp on. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's video games are their own unique medium, and that should be celebrated.
Yeah.
But realistically, Zach and I are both students of all types of music. We try and listen to a little bit of everything, and we hope that it shows through in what we play.
Mm-hmm. Actually, before we go off the trail of video games, what's your favorite? What are each of your favorite video games?
Just a game I can pick up and play and more or less play through the end almost in one sitting. I'll keep it. You asked me for one specific one. I'll keep it to three. Probably Super Mario World. I just think like that game is the most arcadey, fun. Like it's I just think it's perfect. Like I know like
there's just something really special about the Super Nintendo era.
Totally. Kirby Air Ride, because it's probably the most like nonsense game I can think of. It's just doing nothing. Same with Pokemon Snap. That would be my other one. That's like my favorite game. You can probably beat in like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it's just like really kind of lazy and I don't know. It's fun more than anything else.
I suppose for me, my list, just to give three off the bat, for this first one is kind of as Zach said, just something that has stuck with me for a long time and I can easily just sit down through one sitting. Super Metroid. We were talking about how the Metroid games are like really creepy and very atmospheric. And if I were to teach a video game class on how to if I were to teach a class on video game world building, Super Metroid would be the textbook. Second one, this is just again another one that stuck with me, and it's something I can pop in for and play for 15-30 minutes. Super Smash Brothers. And third one, I'm gonna go a little bit off the. I'm gonna go for maybe one that's well known, but also kind of underappreciated. Minecraft.
I don't know if underappreciated is the way. It's a great game.
I don't think it quite gets the attention it deserves. Just as like a very, it's a good example of a less is more game, and you know, I think sometimes we lose sight of that sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
This is very relaxing.
Yeah.
That's my only argument for that.
Where you can pretty much create anything you want.
Oh, you could do it. My brother and I, one time, we made...
It's like virtual Lego.
Yeah. We made like this kind of like old man falling off a chair after he was trying to get a cookie jar on top of a fridge. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. You can put those blocks into the shape of a guy falling. You could see inside his mouth and everything. It was amazing.
Awesome, guys. To move on, almost away from video games, but King Dice, where does that name come from?
Yeah, so funny story about that.
Not intentionally a video game reference, but it became one. It comes from a Bowie lyric from, what, Sons of the Silent Age?
Yeah, Sons of the Silent Age off of the album Heroes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I know that song.
Yeah. And King Dice was a lyric. George brought it up, and...
Yeah, we were just kind of like tossing darts at the board, seeing what would stick, and like, yeah, we just went with King Dice, and it was only after that we realized we unintentionally made a video game reference.
Yeah, so I mean, it kind of works out, right? I mean, definitely. I mean, our music's not nearly as jovial and big band as Cuphead, maybe, but yeah, it's funny how things work out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Serendipity.
Very serendipitous, but also I think it's a very fitting story of who we are as a band. Just okay, I guess it's this thing now.
We're all with the punches.
Yeah, definitely we're much more like electro grunge versus anything big band-esque.
No, we're not. I wouldn't mind covering some bops, you know. But
so that's how you would describe your music, as electro grunge,
electro punk,
that's something along those lines. Yeah.
Anti-pop.
The way I described it was video game music melting.
It's just like, turned up to 11.
Or turned up to 11. Like, just like decaying, sort of. Like, this band always has had a feeling of being able to fall apart at any second. Our sound's very both fragile and hard-hitting at the same time. I think it's cool. It's definitely both cathartic and... terrifying to play at the same
time.
It's
definitely very much body music.
Yeah. It's supposed to be visceral and animalistic in a lot of ways.
Like rattle a few windows.
Yeah.
Shake some foundations.
A single cup sitting on a desk that, and the water starts moving to let you know that dinosaurs are near.
It would be like the worst beer pong game ever.
The beer pong in Jurassic Park.
Clever girl.
That's me.
So, with this project of yours, are you guys only concentrating on like the drum, synth, and voice dynamic of music?
At the very least, for the time being,
to a certain extent.
Yeah, the bands George and I were in the past featured like guitar and bass and. Playing like whoever had a song ready, we would try it out and see what happened. But I think especially within the Ontario scene right now, I can't really think of a band that's quite doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
I
like to say that if to put us on a bill, we can fit in both everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah. Like I could see us being played on like something like a rock radio station. Not to say we're whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I would totally understand. I mean, like, well, it's not. I mean, it's not really right. Like it's. Yeah, in terms of genre, we have a very specific sound, but I can't think of a place where we would immediately be like, oh, this is where exactly they belong to be heard and played.
Basically, if you hear us on the radio, you'd be instantly like, that's King Dice.
Yeah. I think we have a really unique sound.
Yeah. I mean, part of it came, just go off on a little tangent, part of it came from sort of my frustrations with... being just a regular keyboardist, like I took piano lessons for years, but and I love playing piano. I love playing like classical pieces, like Chopin, Beethoven, whatever. But I never found I could really write songs on piano. But I always had that urge to do so. But when I got this synthesizer, it was like I found my magic voice, and I'm a furnace. I'm always just coming up with. New riffs and new song ideas all the time.
What kind of synth do you have, actually, for our listeners?
Yes. I am playing an ARP Odyssey. It's basically a remake of an old 70s synthesizer. Basically, ARP was the biggest competitor to Moog back in the days for all the music nerds out there. And the Korg company recently, a few years ago, started reissuing these like slightly modernized versions of the synth. And yeah, I think it sounds... amazing. It's everything I wanted it to be.
So then what's the difference then between like a Moog and the ARP, like sound?
It's kind of like the best way I can describe it is like a Fender versus Gibson sort of thing. Like I find the ARP has a very nice like sharp clean tone, meanwhile the Moog has a more like mid heavy end, like very like mwah. It almost has that like deep croak, but I like the ARP because it's a little more what's the word I'm looking for, not flexible, but I guess more responsive.
Can you hit the Moog again for me again? I was gonna wah
wah.
Yeah, that was a good sound. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's it's not it maybe isn't super apparent the sonic difference for the average listener, it's just a preference of mine. I just like the sound of, like I like all synthesizers. I'm a bit of a synth geek myself. I love the sound of a Moog, but ARP is where my heart lies.
Does it also have to do like with the controls and the type of sounds you can make?
Oh yeah, like for the first month when I got this synthesizer, I felt like every time I turned it on, I discovered something new about it, like. It can be very loud and brash, but also very like soft and not necessarily sweet, but gentle sounding. Like as opposed to something like.
That'll be a riff you're going to hear later, by the way.
That's called foreshadowing. But, the fun thing about this is it's almost purely analog. Like, and funnily enough, it's a synthesizer that needs to be tuned, actually. So I have some tuning sliders right here on my top left that I have to be careful not to knock if I ever want to be functional and not... indecipherable mess of gibberish.
And also, if people fear some odd sounds, I guess. Why don't we actually take a break from talking and we can hear some more music?
Yes.
That sounds like a good idea, yes.
So these next two songs are called Vulture Culture and Ludwig Boltzmann.
Any background for these songs?
Vulture Culture is actually a sort of newish one. There's a, funnily enough, there's a level in Donkey Kong Country called Vulture Culture. and I thought it was a very fitting name for it.
We like video games.
Do you get it? And Ludwig Boltzmann is he was an Austrian physicist in the 19th century and very involved in thermodynamics, but he didn't get a lot of his ideas didn't get a lot of traction in the scientific community at the time, and he suffered from depression through a lot of his life, and he unfortunately committed suicide, and this is sort of a tribute to him.
Awesome.
We like dark stuff.
Hey.
Definitely true.
Hey, here's some more music from King Dice here on CFRU 93.3 FM.
I thought I was, till I was forced to see.
fantasy, a one man's fantasy. It's not all bad when it's time to ascend. Silent palisades of doubt, so hard to conceal. Somber promenade about the concourse of ideal. Let me down, they say I'm wrong, when I try to fight. But let me down, but I am sure that I'll not be proven right. Oh, so sad, time to be condemned. Woo! In another macrostate, I might transcend.
Yep.
King Dice here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at live here, CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, and live streaming on YouTube. That was a great tune, guys.
Thank you.
A miniature epic there, telling the story of Ludwig Boltzmann.
Yes.
Awesome. Do you guys like to compose like concept songs like these?
I don't think for us we have any set formula or.
I think for so I mean
process for writing songs.
I'm not really involved in the songwriting process until George's. At least has like something resembling parts of a song, and then that's
like
kind of where
very rough structure.
That's where I start to come in and start to give it some semblance of being like a fully fleshed out song. George, not to put you in a specific box, but
yeah,
he does have a tendency to write songs about something, which I really like. I find whenever I'm consuming any media, I want to know kind of well what's the real story about, like
why should I care about this?
Get on with it. And George tends to write about or at least like, so Ludwig is one, and then another one is Genie, which is like a super super sad tale, but like,
yeah,
like the way it's conveyed I think is I would say pretty uplifting. All in all, it's basically about this girl who, she was found as a feral child, or?
Basically, yeah, she was neglected her entire childhood. Like, she had no, well, next to no exposure to any other human being and thus never learn like how to socialize or to really acquire language.
Yeah, they're like speech, mannerisms, everything like that is just completely non-existent kind of thing. And that's like that's what that song's about. George tends to write songs at least with a purpose in mind or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have some songs that are about a little bit happier subject matter. What's the new one you got?
Razor Grass.
Yeah, that one sounds like a bike ride. It's great, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Yeah, it's jaunty as heck. Are you kidding me?
Game pretty much, or I was thinking of like Pokemon is bringing back that.
Oh, like, totally, yeah. It's like a root theme or something along those lines. Yeah, that's kind of how. Well, like, I mean, video game music isn't the only music George and I bonded over, but it definitely was some level of common ground, and I think we both really appreciate, things that harken back to video game sounds. At least, like, that's a big part of this band in particular.
Yeah, particularly we've been obsessed over these Japanese musicians, most notably Haruomi Hosono.
Oh, man. Everything Yellow Magic Orchestra. I'm pretty sure it's not good to talk about other bands, unlike your bands, whatever. But, yeah.
But they're influences of
ours. Oh, man. Haruomi Hosono in particular. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. But, man, the amount of output that dude did in a very short period of time and all of it really quality is bananas.
What kind of music did he
It's a little
make?
Bit all over the board, but kind of like lounge music if you had to
almost
put into one word.
Yeah, like he's kind of all over. So he was part of this band, Yellow Magic Orchestra, which is basically just Japanese Kraftwerk. I think that's probably the
most it really is.
Accurate way to describe
it. It's a little
them.
More poppy.
Yeah, and then all of his solo work kind of has this really... Because I think he was also in this band called Happy End, which was kind of like mid-70s Japanese folk pop-ish sort of thing. Like very, very light, very breezy music. Like the lyrics are like pretty personal. And then, yeah, he started doing stuff with other like Japanese musicians within the scene. And something like an album like Pacific... is just like this really breezy. It just like feels like being on the ocean kind of thing. Like it's this like jazzy.
The
poppy.
Name is very fitting for the album.
Yeah, exactly. Like it just has such a like summery sort of vibe throughout of it. And like yeah, I like loungy ish. I don't know. I don't know if I would like associate it with one specific genre because like there's one song at the end that's like super.
It's very upbeat.
Really.
So
yeah.
It's not quite just like sitting back in a couch doing nothing, but it's almost like. Like you're in a casual, like sort of small dinner party.
Yeah.
But
in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. I mentioned Haruomi Hosono, and another guy I've been listening to a lot of is another Japanese guy is Isao Tomita. He basically took like classical music, like Debussy, Ravel, The Planets by Gustav Holst, mm-hmm. Pictures at an Exhibition by Mussorgsky, and he did basically his own version of those, but totally done with synthesizers, and I think it's just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, especially like his cover of Claire de Lune is to die for.
Doesn't he also do a cover of the pizza theme from Spider-Man 2?
Don't worry, Mr. Aziz. But, just kind of like anything sort of like early electronic musicians. I'm also a humongous fan of Lori Spiegel. She's a New York musician and made some really like beautiful ambient electronic music. Mm-hmm. To clarify, like, again, as Zach said, it's not like only video game music that we listen to. We're always constantly trading vinyl and CDs between each other, just saying like, hey, I think you'll like this. Hey, I think you'll like this.
We were bopping to Carly Rae Jepsen not too long ago, kind of thing. Emotion's a good album, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the best pop records of the last decade, for sure.
I've been enjoying a lot of Chemical Brothers and Massive Attack lately.
Yeah. With the SMK having started as a progressive rock show, is progressive rock part of that radar of music?
Oh, huge.
Definitely.
I think for me, with my music listening journey, less so as time's gone on, I got really, really into it. I mean, speaking of Neil Peart, I mean, Rush was kind of a big one for me, kind of when I was first starting to like really play drums.
2112 is easily one of my favorite progressive rock albums ever.
Easy, yeah. I've also always really been interested in kind of the offshoots of prog, so like something like Canterbury and Soft Machine and Robert Wyatt, I've always been really really into. I don't know if krautrock really falls under the it doesn't have like kind of the prog sort of technical finesse, like krautrock's much more 4/4 than the 13/8 you usually get from some prog music, but I mean, I don't know, prog's always been kind of like, I remember, I think the first record I ever bought was In the Court of the Crimson King by King Crimson. Which is a big one for me, like that, like the fact that that record came out in 1969 is
incredible. I've always been a big fan of King Crimson, as Zach mentioned, and Uriah Heep.
You and your Uriah Heep.
I get it.
The early era Uriah Heep, because I think
anything between 1970 to 1975.
Excellent. I've been always saying that you guys are like the punk Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Oh, thank you. That's amazing.
That might be one of the best compliments we have ever received.
We should, for you, we'll try and make a song called Punk Tarkus.
Yes.
That would honestly be super dope. I'm into it.
Yeah, I'd be into that as well.
Yeah, we'll do it for you, Nick. What the heck? You know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
With full dedication on the, like, when we release it as a single, like, you'll be in the liner notes.
Yeah, no, when we release it as a 12-inch. And have like both the instrumental and the like one with vocals, and then
one side is the like the vocal and the other is like the dub version.
Yeah, perfect. I don't know, I'm honestly super into that. I haven't listened to Tarkus in forever, man.
Yeah, that's a great piece.
Oh yeah,
slightly
absolutely.
Controversial take. Emerson is known for, and Emerson is one of my keyboard heroes. Like I learned a lot listening to him while I was growing up, but I was more of a fan of his piano work rather than his organ playing. Like, I know he's well known for playing organ, but some of the piano work on like the very first album, like, hot damn, that is spicy.
Very hot take, George. Very hot take.
Yeah. I guess from our visuals, we can... I guess you're being very good in actually not wrecking the vinyl library we have here.
Oh man. No, don't do it. No. Oh no.
Well, there's a dent.
Yeah. Admittedly, I was thinking like, I don't know, afterwards I saw like a couple records peeking out here. I was really I was hoping to go through them and see what you guys got.
Yeah, we can do that afterwards.
Have a grand old listening party.
Yeah, we'll listen to Spiderland by Slint or something, I don't know. What you guys got here? You got anything good? You have any Beatles?
Probably, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've looked into the vinyls
really
here.
Dug deep. Yeah.
So I
bet they have all the Red Hot Chili Peppers albums.
That's my favorite band.
So I was gonna say that compared to your performance here, you're being very mild in your, especially for you, George, because I think it's almost been a year since I got to see you guys for the first time.
That was at Silence, right?
Yeah, and you were like tumbling and throwing your mic around and stuff, and that was so intense. I hadn't seen anything so intense before.
It's just kind of an outlet for me. Sometimes when I'm performing live, I just slip into a separate headspace and I just go for it.
The thing is, it's not phoned in either. He's been better about it the past like few months, but almost every practice we have, it's the same deal. Like, by the end of it, he can barely speak, and it's like, oh, I need some honey. Or, like, he's shirtless and just, like, rolling around and, like, really trying to utilize...
An absolute sweaty mess.
Yeah. And really, something you do live is you really utilize your environment. Like, you really try to interact with kind of, like, everything that's around you and see what you can
use it for in one way or another.
I just think it makes the performance all that more memorable. Like I've never been a fan of the idea of you and I play our songs and we leave the stage. That's it. No, we want to. You always want to leave the audience wanting more.
Totally. I think it works for some bands, but for us, I think it really helps to have a really like intense, kinetic sort of performance.
And very visual and bombastic.
Yeah. George swinging a mic around and rolling around like a snail and then pulling my drum set apart as I'm trying to play one beat over and over again. But it's good. I'm kind of bound to a throne. Otherwise, I'd try to go a little bit more ham. But I think it's good to have. I try to play the straight man a little bit. I don't know how well it would do. I try to be the Jerry Seinfeld to George's Kramer.
Oh, at least musically, and which is funny because I feel like in normal speaking conversation, I'm more the straight man and Zach is the funny man. Like I always feel Zach has the one-liners, the witty quips, just locked and loaded.
I'm just dumb. I think is what it comes
to. No, no. Give yourself some credit.
All right. I know a lot about Frank Ocean. But
that's good.
It is good. I agree. Yeah.
What's your favorite Frank Ocean song?
Oh, I'm very glad you asked, George. my Frank Ocean song is probably Self-Control. With that being said, I think Chanel definitely has its place within his discography. I really like his two new songs. I don't think they're my favorites of his, but I'm really excited to see what he dishes out. I'm sure he'll release a record this year, and I'm really excited to see. Seems like he's moving towards more club music. As opposed to something resembling, I don't know about typical R&B fare, but
yeah,
definitely Self-Control. That's the one that like I remember traveling through Budapest on a train and just listening to that song on repeat. You know, but
I've never met a bigger fan of Frank Ocean than Zach.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah, I haven't listened to any of his newer music, just mainly from the first album.
Yeah. I mean, Channel Orange is basically perfect. It was a record that I listened to when it first came out and I went, ah, whatever. I don't know if I'm huge on it. And then I listened to it a few years later. Oh, wow, you really got that down, eh? That's cool. I'd be down to cover Pink and White. That's where every day goes, every time we no control. Yeah, I would really recommend Blonde. I think it's basically a masterpiece. More or less everything he's released has at least been a pretty, like, his worst song is like a 6 out of 10. Everything else is just like incredible, or 3 out of 5, if you will.
Definitely on my side, at least not having listened to Frank Ocean as much as Zach has, like from what limited amounts of his material I've listened to, I've been thoroughly impressed.
Yeah, he's got a real ear for and like just a lot of like intricacies in his music too. For someone who's doing what is essentially a very hip hop influenced act, there's a lot of like weird kind of experimental tendencies. Like one of the tracks off of Blonde ends with basically him screaming in this really weird chorusy compressed sort of voice, and the last like 20 seconds of the song is him like knocking something over in the studio and then walking out kind of thing. And that's like the second track on the album kind of thing. Like it's not like it's even a closer or anything like that, but yeah,
it's not like it's super intense and frenetic, but there's definitely a lot of energy like sustained throughout Blonde.
Yes. Yeah. It's a very nostalgic guy. We got to get off this topic. I'm just going to keep going.
Here, why don't we talk about your album, Red Version, that you just released?
Yeah. We can do that.
So
yeah.
It's a collection of 5 songs that we've been playing for. Like, they've been in our set list for since
a while.
The beginning.
Yeah. I know. So George and I were previously part of a project, and like a decent amount of kind of like what we were getting started with King Dice came from that band, which I'll refrain from saying the name. It's not like super crass, but it's like crass-ish.
But it is a Hemingway reference.
Vonnegut. It is a Vonnegut reference, but a decent amount of the songs we started off with were from that band.
At least the ones that I wrote and contributed.
Yes, yeah. It'd be kind of hard to with Devin, the other member of that project, play his songs since he plays guitar and wrote them, so he wouldn't want to take that away from him. But for George's songs, which is Red and Black, Gold Dust, which we...
Sorry, Devin, we're stealing all your songs and we'll pay you exactly zero royalties.
Exactly zero, Devin. Stop riding off our coattails for making an easy buck. I think, because what are the other songs off of Red Version? Genie, which is a newer one, or newish, like a couple
newish.
A couple years old, I guess. Our signature cover of
Ghost Rider, which has somehow been, by and large, seemingly the best received.
A staple.
Yeah. It's not, it's funny. My girlfriend, she's super, super great with lyrics. So I'll just catch her every now.
Shout outs to Keisha here.
Shout outs to Keisha Kruger. She'll say like, Ghost Rider, Ghost Rider. Just like over and over again.
Which are not at all the lyrics, but.
No, he does say Ghost. Well, you say Ghost Rider, right?
Fair enough. I stand corrected.
And then the last song on it is Oscillations, which I think we only finally, that song took so long to nail. It took like 6 months.
I think that's the song that really showcases our prog influence. It's Zach hates me for it, but it's a tune in 5/4.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's so good to dance in, George. 5/4.
I just like the way the riff sounds.
No, I admittedly, now that I know how to play it, I like the song a lot more. But
just that hurdle. That
Yeah.
It definitely took a lot of workshopping to get ready for performance, but I think it's probably one of our strongest songs.
Yeah. Well, we were probably practicing for about 8 months before we finally like performed for the first time, kind of thing. Like we really tried to put in effort, and we still have like a whole whack of songs that like from our catalog that we might throw on. So I mean, spoiler alert: the next record's probably going to be Blue Version.
Yes.
Got to complete the two, and I don't want to spoil what the cover art is, but I assume it's going to be very similar to a Red Version.
Let's just say inspired
with some subtle. Differences, which I will let the viewer decide what they are. If you were familiar with the EP,
let it fester in your imagination.
Yeah, it's certainly not going to just be a turtle with cannons on the back of it
playing
a synth.
Far from it.
Yeah.
Well, that would be awesome.
Yeah. No, my brother is a but a Photoshop wizard. No, that's it. Shout out to Jay Vernon. Yeah, he's a wizard.
So guys, I think it's almost time for us to finish off this session. You guys can play some tunes, but before that, do you have any I guess there's a new EP to look to, but is there anything else coming in the future?
We got a couple shows lined up. We have one at Silence
in February,
February
21st. Yeah.
Yep. And then we'll have another one at This Ain't Hollywood.
I think it's the St. Hall.
February 22nd in Hamilton. And then, are we still confirmed for that Toronto show, March 7th? Anyways, we have a few shows lined up. We're gonna try and get back to the studio. I don't really want to put a timeline on it for the sake of. I assume it's if I say what, like, oh, we'll get in at May, and it'll be May of 2021. We finally get.
At this point, we're just trying to spread our, I guess, digital footprint.
Yeah. We're trying our best to
promote the EP, of course.
Yes. Yeah. And potential like newer releases coming out. Like definitely with the next EP, I want to record a few more than the EP itself, just to kind of drop a few singles, not to get into business plans or anything.
Yeah.
But
at this point, it's just like figuring out a time to record this new EP, workshop new songs, get more shows under our belt.
Just basically be heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe start applying to some festivals.
Yeah. That's definitely something that is very much on the net. We got plans, Nick. We got plenty of plans. Don't you worry about that.
With blackjack.
With blackjack. In fact, forget the blackjack. We'll just have plans.
Is there any words of wisdom you want to give to our listeners?
Spend less than you make. You know, keep putting that money in that RSP. You know, listen to Iron Maiden. That's good.
Man,
you know,
I haven't listened to Iron Maiden in ages.
I don't think I've listened to them since I was like 15 or so. At least like in depth, like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to listen to Number of the Beast front to back, you know.
Where can we find your music?
In bed. We're on Bandcamp. We're on Spotify now.
Yes.
We're on Spotify now.
If not right now, within this week.
Yeah, it'll be soon. We just got everything sorted out for distribution on that. I think we're on SoundCloud as well.
We are on SoundCloud.
On SoundCloud. And
I think we'll also be on Apple Music, Google Play, like all the major standard
streaming ones. You can also, we're at Facebook. We also have carrier pigeons that we use to
snail mail
as well. We got a P.O. box.
You can also find us in your refrigerator just chilling.
Yeah, that's true. yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you want to send me mail, 55 Murray Street East, Hamilton, Ontario, L8L38. Like, you know, let's party sometime, you know.
George, Zach, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having us, Nick.
It's been absolutely delightful being here.
What are your last two songs?
Before we go into those last two songs, I just wanted to say, like, for everybody out there, just learn as much as you can, just because the world is too interesting, like, you owe it to yourself to do so. It's
you should read. Yeah, I guess that's the final. Sorry for stomping on your words of wisdom with my swell.
That's okay.
But yeah. Keep learning. Never stop learning.
Awesome. Yeah. So these next two songs are, since we mentioned it, Oscillations and Crucible.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Again, this is King Dice here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, CFRU 93.3 FM.